Greetings in the name of Christ, and welcome to sermons from St. Mark's Episcopal Church in San Antonio, Texas. Today's sermon, entitled The Transformative Power of Gratitude, was delivered by the Reverend Carol Moorhead, Associate Rector of St. Mark's Episcopal Church. This sermon was recorded on Sunday, October 9, 2016, at the 9 a.m. morning worship service. And now, the Reverend Carol Moorhead.
One of my favorite commentators on the lectionary, who writes about the lectionary each week, shared a story this week about how he has a coworker, and when she is asked, "How are you?" she always replies, "I'm grateful. I'm grateful." And he says it's kind of a little discombobulating to most people, because most of the time when you say, "How are you?" to someone, you don't really get, you get, "I'm fine, how are you?" It's pretty rote. And so it reminded me actually a little bit of one of you here present, who often when asked the same question, "How are you?" often says, "Better than I deserve." And I like that. And all of that makes me think a lot about what is gratitude. What is the posture of gratitude? How does gratitude transform us? And how does it transform our experience in life? Now, sometimes when we talk about gratitude or thankfulness, it can become saccharine sweet and kind of banal. The string of platitudes about how we're thankful and kind of a rosy outlook. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a deep thankfulness and gratitude for what is, and an ability to see life through a different lens. In my own experience, more than 20 years ago, when I just at that time had two small boys, I was experiencing kind of a hard time in life. I had these two little boys. They were really little. Dan was in the middle of building his career. He was often gone, so I was often home alone, kind of a single parent sometimes. And I found myself often feeling lonely, sometimes longing for things that I didn't have and couldn't have, sometimes struggling to make ends meet because we were still very much in those early stages of our life where it was hard to know. And we went on a trip with our family, and in the midst, when we were on this trip, I found this little bookstore, and I was really needing something. And I found a book, and it was one of those books of daily readings, you know, and I happen to really love those. If you come to my office, you'll see like a whole shelf of them. Really like them. I still use them all the time, reading through a daily reading from Rumi, and then a daily poem right now. But this one of the things that it suggested doing was beginning a gratitude journal. And so I did. And I can tell you that it began to transform me. It began to transform my relationships and my perspective about life. And I began to see the fullness of what was rather than the lack of what was not. And so it's with thinking about gratitude that we come to today's gospel. And so often in the Gospel of Luke, we find ourselves on the edges of things, because Luke wants us to see how it is that God is often reaching to those who are on the margins. So today we have a story where Jesus is traveling with his disciples, and they're in the borderlands, that in-between space between Galilee and Samaria, kind of a no man's land. And they're in a village, and there are these outcasts, these lepers, who are on the edge, on the periphery of that society. And interestingly, scholars tell us that in the first century, leprosy was a term that was used very broadly to apply to any kind of skin disease. And oftentimes, they weren't things that were life-threatening or even perhaps contagious, but it created a situation where the people who had them were not allowed in society. It kept them outside the bounds of relationship, of being a part of the community they were from. So they kept their distance, the story says, even as they cry out for mercy. They know they need something. And it's interesting too, isn't it, that the story says that their healing happens along the way. As they went, it says. And Jesus sees them and speaks their healing into being. And they act on it, don't they? They go, just as he sends them, to present themselves to the priest in faith that something's happening. Healing often takes place, I think, here in those liminal spaces where we're on the edge between two things, where we find ourselves so often, and where often God finds us. It is here that we are often malleable and open to transformation. Perhaps we're crying out for God's mercy. So there's those 10. And then there's this one leper who returns to Jesus. And it's interesting to see what the story says. It says, first, he realizes that he was healed. There's an awareness of the change that is happening in his life. And it's likely not just his body, but his whole life that's changing. Because now he can move back into society with this healing. What a gift he has received. And next he praises God. And I think there's such a clear link here between praise and thanks, that they form a kind of infinity loop that feed one another. The more you praise, the more you're thankful. The more you're thankful, the more you praise. But then the writer gives us the real inside scoop. You see, this one who returns, he's really an outsider. He's a Samaritan. And he's the one to turn back. Now remember, Samaritans were not really those that you mix with in polite company in Jesus' day. In fact, the reason they were in the borderlands is because they were trying to avoid going through Samaria. Yet the thing that binds this man to those other nine was not their land or their nationality or their religious beliefs. It was their illness. And he's the one who turns back. Jesus notices too. He says he's a foreigner and says even this foreigner is praising God, yet none of the others. What happened to the insiders who knew God, ostensibly? In the Gospel of Luke, over and over, it's those who outwardly look the farthest from God who have the most faith. So I wonder then what gratitude is and how might it look in our lives. I think that gratitude grows out of recognizing God's love and care and healing in our lives. Gratitude leads us to praise God and to give thanks. And I think in this one man, gratitude shows us a kind of humility. One writer says, a heart trained always to be grateful will also grow more and more humble. It will be fearless in its recognition of how everything it loves, needs, and celebrates streams from a never-ending river of grace from God. That one turns to Jesus and he bows before him. His gratitude helps him not see himself as someone who deserves this, but someone who's so thankful for this. And really, it must have been what all 10 of them were dreaming of, isn't it? Isn't that why they called out for mercy? They dreamed of healing and of re-entering society. And when they get it, only one of them doesn't take it as a given, doesn't take it for granted. Only one of them is able to turn and praise God for this gift of new life. Now, Jesus doesn't make a judgment about the other nine. He just notices that they didn't turn around. So we don't really know what happened to them. But we do know that it's noticeable that this outsider it has gratitude. Thomas Merton says, gratitude takes nothing for granted, is never unresponsive, is constantly awakening to new wonder and to praise of the goodness of God. For the grateful person knows that God is good, not by hearsay, but by experience. And that is what makes all the difference. That one man had that experience, and it transformed him. I think gratitude also keeps us grounded in the present moment. Recently, I was at a credo, which is a professional time of reflection and rest and thinking about your vocation as a priest that the Episcopal Church makes possible, and you made possible for me to be gone. I thank you for that. And one of the things we did there was we looked at our rule of life. And a rule of life is just a pattern of ways that you want to live based on your values. And it helps you kind of have a waymark along the way of how you're doing. And I've had a rule of life for a long time. So it was a really wonderful time to look at my rule of life and reflect. And one of the things in my rule of life is to recognize daily the sacrament of the present moment. And I was very struck that in this story, I think that's part of what's happening. This one man who turns back is recognizing what's happening right now. He's not thinking about what lies ahead. He's not going back over what was. He's in the present moment. The great English poet John Milton says, gratitude bestows reverence, allowing us to encounter everyday epiphanies. Those transcendent moments of awe that change forever how we experience life in the world. Sometimes I think my suffering, our suffering, comes from living outside of the present moment. We want what we don't have. We focus on lack rather than what is in our lives. Gratitude allows us to stay in the here and now. Now, I'm not talking about some kind of grandiose promise of perfection or an empty, I'll think about that later. I'm not saying that gratitude will make everything right in your life or that there won't be suffering or difficulty. But gratitude will urge us to take a second look at our life and see it with an eternal perspective. There's a man who has done a film about happiness. And in that film, he drew on a lot of research. There's been some really interesting research about happiness or joy, which I'm going to use interchangeably here. And he tells this story about when he was in India, and he says he met a dirt-poor rickshaw puller in a slum in India. And he told him that he was the luckiest person alive. He says his hut was made out of bamboo sticks and plastic tarps with raw sewage trickling out front. But still, this man said he was happy, very happy, in fact. And though sometimes he only had a few bowls of rice to feed his family, he said, I feel that I am not poor, but I am the richest person in the world. That's living in the present moment with a deep sense of gratitude for what is. You see, gratitude leads us outside of ourselves. It changes our perspective and leads to joy or happiness. The same filmmaker worked with one of the leading researchers on happiness in the world, a man called Ed Diener. And Ed Diener said he has found that a person's values are among the best indicators of their happiness or predictors. He says people who value money, power, fame, and good looks are less likely to be happy than people who value compassion, cooperation, and a willingness to make the world a better place. When he was asked if there was a single key to happiness, a secret ingredient that makes every person happy, he said the formula was different for everyone, but the one constant was good relationships. He said that every person who he studied who's happy over 3 decades of research had someone to love and someone to be loved by. I think good relationships make sense to us because at the center of all our relationships is our relationship to God. Our recognition that our lives flow from the love and grace that Jesus enfleshed. Our faith in God leads to a changed place in the world. We no longer stand in the same place when we know that we are loved by God. We see differently, expect differently, and give thanks for what is. Gratitude can turn denial into acceptance, says one writer, chaos to order, confusion to clarity. It can turn a meal into a feast, a house into a home, a stranger into a friend. And so I want to end today by practicing with you. And so I'm going to say, how are you? And I want you to say, I'm grateful. And I want us to do that three times. So are you ready? How are you? How are you? How are you? Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well.
Thank you for listening to Sermons from St. Mark's. St. Mark's Episcopal Church is located in downtown San Antonio, Texas, at 315 East Pecan Street. If you would like more information, please visit our website at stmarks-sa.org. Until next week, may God bless you.